Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, was giving us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Men broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Thank God for all of you this day and wherever you're listening to me at. Hey, let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you once again in Jesus' name for this opportunity you have blessed us to assemble together again. We're grateful, Lord God, that you are God, and besides you, there is no other. We're grateful that you are all-powerful in the name of Jesus, and that even demons and devils in hell have to bow at your name. Dear Lord, we come today, Lord God, as we take this journey once again into your word, but we dare do it not without you. So therefore, Lord, we ask you today, dear God, that you would accompany us with your spirit. And Lord God, just shed light in areas where there is dark to us. Lord, give us understanding where we lack understanding. Bless us with the wisdom in the times that we need in the name of Jesus. So Lord God, we just thank you for this day you made and created. We will give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to open up with a scripture from the book that is referred to as the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had been sending through his angelic being, his messenger, the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah that is forth to come, that he has sent thus far 120 times from the year of 1927 to 1994. And I want to read a scripture out of one of these messages. It's referred to as the second message, because thus far the Lord has seen him 120 times. And the second message is the second time that he comes. He had come with a message from the Lord. We do come to understand and know that angels of God come by the appointed time of the Lord. They do not come by my appointed time. They don't come by your appointed time. They do not come by anybody well famous on this earth. No matter who you are, the angels of the Lord appears at the appointed time of the Lord. So therefore, if you ever have a visitation from the angel of the Lord, one thing you do not have to worry about is God saying unto you, oh, I didn't even know he had came to see you. You don't have to worry about that because God sent him. Amen. And so one of these messages that's called and the message to us was sent by the Lord March 4, 1927, and Brother Fetting recorded that the angel was with him from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., okay? Now, as I said to you, those who have been listening many times before, I do not have a problem giving you dates. I do not have a problem giving you time because I want you to ask God about it. We're not doing anything hideous. We're not doing anything trying to be tricky or deceiving. We're coming straight with you, straight at you, with this, what God has commissioned us to tell you, okay? So therefore, March 4, 1927, and one of the things, whenever you read the messages, you'll notice that the angel of the Lord came at different times, okay? So it wasn't always 5 a.m., okay? Maybe been 5:30, maybe been 3, you know, but anyhow. So in this message, he said, I am the man sent from God, and my name is John. I am the messenger to prepare the way. I am come again that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things shall be established. When I was here to see you the last time, I did not give you my name, but what I told you about the church is true, and much more shall be revealed to you from time to time. Come with me, and I will show you a vision, and I will show you a vision. Now, this angel, who we have come to understand, who have recognized and given us recognition of who he is, the resurrected John the Baptist, said that he is the man sent from God and his name is John. Therefore, he was given authority to appear at whatever time he appeared as this angelic being. He was authorized by God. And this is why I tell you that if you ever is visited by an angel of God, and you go to praying and talking to God about this after you had had this visitation, you do not have to worry about God saying, oh, I didn't know he came to see you. Because when he appeared at the appointed time of the Lord. Amen. Now, the other thing I want to look at, and this is the title of this series we are on now, is when he said, I am the messenger to prepare the way. Now, tonight's title is Third Witness, Messenger to Prepare the Way. Now, when I started this part of the series, I gave you witnesses who was able, witnesses from the Bible, who was able to corroborate to let you know that John the Baptist is and was called the messenger to prepare the way. And after I gave you these witnesses, what I did is I started to go back into them a little bit more deeper on what they're saying in the different verses of what we went into. So tonight, first I went through the first two witnesses with you. I went through the first witness being Jesus Christ, Matthew recorded in Matthew 11. Okay, we looked at that, and then I went through the second witness with you, which was Mark, and we came from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to verse 4. Now, tonight we are on the third witness. And our third witness tonight is Malachi. That's who our third witness is. So let's do this. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Now, one of the things I want to say about this Malachi here is that I might be a little time on this Malachi here because there are some very deep and more revealing things that Malachi has to say about the resurrected John the Baptist being the messenger of the Lord. Not only is he talking about him being the messenger, but he also lets you know a little bit more in dealing with his work, okay? So I'm not going to be able to get all this tonight. I just giving you the heads up that this third witness, messenger to prepare the way, there will be a second part to this also, okay? So let's go to Malachi chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 5. And the word said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, say the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appear? For he's like a refiner's fire and like full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, say the Lord of hosts. Glory be to God. Now, Malachi speaks and gives to us what God had him to say. Now, remember, the true prophets were representatives of God, and they was like speakers on the behalf of God. They like a mouthpiece of the Lord. And therefore, when the true prophets, and notice I keep putting the word true, Because everyone that was during that time, even in the New Old Testament, was not true prophets. There were false prophets then, okay? Now, when a true prophet of the Lord came to you, you'll find sometimes they would come to you and say, I come in the name of the Lord. And they were serious business. It wasn't no joking around, playing around. They came and delivered the message, and they was like, quote, the mouthpiece of God speaking to you, okay? So Malachi here tells us, and he gives us the word of the Lord, that God said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now, this right here he's talking about is John. Now, I know from what I read to you all, some of you would look at that and say, this is John. How do we know this is John? Because it don't say John. Well, see, that's the same way that Malachi said in chapter 4, when he talked about Elijah, he was talking about John, he didn't mention John. But it's the detail of things that he says that let you know it's John. So how do we know it's John? Because remember, witness number one that I went through with you was Jesus. And remember, Jesus confirmed it or witnessed or revealed it. So remember in Matthew chapter 11, okay? Remember Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. He said, behold, this is he of whom it is written, I will send my messenger before thy face. So Jesus was giving revelation. He was, first of all, he was confirming that what was said and told was true. And the second thing he was doing was giving revelation. Because here a messenger is said, but a name was not given. Okay? So now Jesus puts a name to the messenger. Matthew 11, to tell the people, say, hey, this is John. This is he of whom it is written, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the next thing we want to look at as we read, as we have looked at and read, Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, the other thing we want to come to understand is that this word that God gave Malachi to give is about John's second coming or him coming in these last days. Now you would say, okay, how do we know that? That's a good question. This is how we know. The answer is in verse 5. And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerer and against the adulterer and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling to in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, say the Lord of hosts. Now, you said, how is that the answer, telling us that this prophetic word is concerning John's second coming or these last days we living in now? Well, remember, in verse 5, when he said, I will come near to you in judgment, this is the Lord speaking. This is not John the Baptist speaking, okay? In fact, it's the Lord speaking from verse 1 when he said, behold, I will send my messenger. And so the Lord talking about, I will come near to you to judgment. Well, see, that's referring to Christ's second coming. Because remember, when Christ first came, he came as the Lamb. He didn't come in judgment. Okay? Could you imagine if he came in judgment? Who was going to stand? Okay, so he came as the Lamb. This verse 5 is referring to Christ's second coming. When he's going to come, what? I will come near to you to judgment. Okay? Amen. Remember Thessalonians? What did Paul tell the Thessalonian church? That Jesus was going to come with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Okay? That's what he said. So this is referring to the second coming of Christ. So if the Lord said, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and this is dealing with Christ's second coming, then it's also dealing with John's second coming. Okay? Because remember, that's his job. And he is sent by the Lord. Okay? Hallelujah. So when Jesus first came, he came as the Lamb. See, he ain't coming back to when, see, people, when he come back the second time, he ain't coming back as the Lamb. Now, he'll be always known as the Lamb. But he ain't coming back as the lamb. In other words, he ain't coming back to be sacrificed again. He ain't coming back to let people mock and beat and hit on him. He ain't coming back for that. He's coming back as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming back to what? To judgment. Amen. That's what he's coming back. He's coming back to judgment. He's coming back. He's going to lay out some judgment. See, this is where we miss it. When we teach about rapture, we're talking about what Christ can come and get us any day. No, that's not true. Well, they say, well, yeah, he can. By ability, he can. But when you get to order, he can't, because he has to follow his own order. And when you look through the scriptures, Christ named different events that had to happen before he returned. And one of them is what? Him sending the Elijah. He told us in Malachi chapter 4, behold, I send you Elijah before what? The great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. Well, see, this thing ain't totally completed yet. Okay? See, understand something. God is a God of order. And it's just like if he do something in your life personally, his goal is to fulfill all those steps that he take you through, the things that he have. He wants to fulfill it. See, God is not about doing some, the Lord Jesus is not about doing some half stuff. See, we do half stuff. He don't do half stuff. When Jesus work with you, he wants to complete the thing in our life. Now, do everybody come to completeness? No, because we end up messing up, getting out the way, running out the way, you name it, all kinds of stuff, okay? And then we want to blame God. We looking kind of bad when we do that, real bad. Anyhow, hallelujah. And so, therefore, Jesus wants to complete things. So, therefore, he is sending his messenger, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, let's walk through this thing a little bit more once again, because notice he said in verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger. I had defined this word messenger to you before. We're going to look at it again, and it's going to be something additional given to it, okay? So we want to look at what does it mean about John being his messenger, okay? What does that mean? Well, I gave you the word messenger when I did, part two. I gave you the word messenger. First off, I'm going to give it to you again, the word messenger, according to how Webster defined. And Webster defined the word messenger as a forerunner. He also defined it as an employee who carries messages. Okay? That's what a messenger does, okay? He's a forerunner, an employee that carries messages, okay? So we understand that by John being called the messenger, God is saying he's a forerunner. So since this word goes to the second coming, that means that the John the Baptist, the resurrected John the Baptist, is to be in a position as a forerunner again. Now, some of you that's listening to this, you are quick to say, we don't need another forerunner. But I'm here to show you and telling you by the scriptures and the word of God, God does not agree with you. Okay? He doesn't agree with that. See, we're quick to say what we don't need, what we shouldn't happen, what shouldn't happen. But if God doesn't confirm what you're saying, let me tell you what you are. Wrong. That's what it is. That go for any of us. You're wrong. Okay, and I've heard it before that when this work was talked about, I've heard even one believer said, well, John first came, he was a forerunner, but we don't need another forerunner. I said, well, that's what you said. That ain't what God say. He calls him, he said, I will send my messenger. One of the meanings, once again, forerunner. He is the one to deliver a message. Well, again, before Christ's second coming, okay? So for us to say we don't need that, and God saying I'm sending him for this purpose, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Now, the last time I checked from the word of God, God is not a man that he shall lie. He is never wrong. Wrong is not even in his nature, okay? So my chances are is the person that says it, they're wrong, okay? The human that says it, they are wrong. Glory be to God. Now, Another thing we want to understand about defining what does it mean that John is the messenger, that Malachi is talking about the coming of the last day. We understand that means he's the forerunner. Okay. He's elected to be the forerunner. You don't hear no other angel being elected to be the forerunner. So he's the forerunner. He is the one to bring a message. But let me tell you what else the word messenger means. And since we are in the Old Testament, we also need to look under the Hebrew. What was the original Hebrew word there that it was translated to our language to say messenger? Well, the original Hebrew word that was there is called malach, malach. And listen to this. Malach means to dispatch as a deputy. It means a messenger specifically of God. That is an angel, also a prophet, priest, or teacher. Now, we look at, I think it was a series or two before this, when we looked at it, and I want to encourage all of you who are listening to go back, you know, and listen to the past episodes of the other series, okay? Let me encourage you to do that. Glory to God. And we did a series, I did a series, where I showed you in the word that John was resurrected and became an angel of the Lord. So therefore, since the word messenger here does means an angel, we've already seen in the scriptures that he was resurrected as an angel. So this is how Malachi, when he was given this word to tell us how the Lord said, I will send my messenger, this is how he was to come back. As a what? As an angel. Okay? Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We saw that in Luke chapter 20, Matthew chapter 22. Because why? Because John, who was in the very first resurrection, he was resurrected with the other saints, and Jesus told us in John chapter 20 that they become as angels of God. Okay? So, therefore, this defining of the word messenger in the Hebrew here is right when he say he is an angel. Okay? We also come to understand that this word, this Hebrew word, also means a prophet. Well, we know from what? Luke chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 11, we know that John was what? Was a prophet. Okay? He was a prophet. Okay? Amen. So we know that fits the bill right there, that he was a prophet. Okay? Glory be to God. Now, so what does it mean when it say here that John, that he is my messenger? That means he is the forerunner, one to come before Christ. Just like Christ let us know in verse 5, he's coming back in judgment. Number two, we know he is to carry a message or bring a message from the Lord. So he ain't just appearing and standing there just looking around. You wonder, what is he coming for? He ain't saying nothing. He's to bring a message. Number three, you come to understand that he is being sent back as an angel. He's not coming back in this kind of flesh like we got. Okay? Amen. You know, he ain't being what I call a mortal resurrected. Okay? That ain't happening because this is, you're looking at, over 2,000 years. Hey, you ain't find nobody that old walking in the flesh like this. Okay? That's what we come to understand. Now, having seen that, I want us to notice something else in this verse. Let's look back at verse 1 once again. That tells us that God wants something else that the Lord Jesus wants us to know. He said, behold, I will send my messenger. Okay? My messenger. Now, notice he didn't say, behold, I will send a messenger. You understand? He said, my messenger. See, sometimes even the littlest words we think don't mean nothing actually mean something. When you just sit there and think about it, you say to yourself, why did God have to say my messenger? How come he didn't just say a messenger? Well, there was a reason from that, for that, why he said my message. Number one, remember, for those of you who are listening, whose language is English, who were born in the United States, or whatever, what have you, remember, the word my is a word that shows possession or ownership, right? Like when you say, that's my car, that means that that car doesn't belong to no one else. It belongs to you, okay? So he said, behold, I will send my messenger, okay? My messenger. Glory be to God. So that is interesting. That means that every, quote, messenger or angel, because remember, here the Hebrew word for messenger here is also translated angel. That means that every messenger or angel is not God's messenger. So I'm just taking a pause for a minute, let that sink in. Okay? And we're finna go to a couple of scriptures on that in a minute. So he said, behold, I send my messenger to let you know angel is his. It belongs to him. Okay? This one that he is sending as a forerunner belongs to him. This one that he's sending to bring a message to the people of God is from him. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his man. That's his messenger. That's his angel, okay? And he let you know that every messenger or angel is not God's messenger. And in that, what he's letting you also know, to get this, that the devil have messengers or angels too. Okay? Let's take a look at that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because we got this thing, many of us got this thing that when we hear angel, we automatically think, oh, God has sent an angel. Not all the time. That's why, you know, you've heard us many times on the broadcast say, even if you visit by an angel, you better check and see if this is of God. Now, if angels was only sent by God, then we would not need to be telling you to check and see if this angel is from God. We wouldn't have no need to tell you that. Okay? Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 7. Now, look at what Paul says in here. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And look what he said. He said, I'm going to start at verse 6. He said, for though I would desire to glory, I would not be a fool. For I would say the truth, but now I forbear or refrain, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. So he said he didn't got a lot of revelation. And he said, lest he would be end up being lifted up in pride, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, glory to God. Hallelujah. You see the word messenger here. The word angels carries the same Greek word as the word messenger. In other words, when you look up the word messenger in the Greek, since we're in the New Testament, and you see what it means, when you look up the word angel in the Greek, it's the same thing. You see that? So he said it was a messenger of Satan. Or in other words, an angel of Satan. Amen. That's why people, you got to check stuff. You can't just, you know, just because, oh, I had a vision from an angel. Well, what did he tell you to do? Go and shoot and kill everybody. Wait a minute. You sure? That's an angel from hell? Yes. I've never had an angel visit before. Okay. That don't necessarily mean that was an angel from the Lord. You have to check things on what it said. Okay. And see, sometimes when people have certain, what you call first-time encounters, they thinking that every first-time encounter, per se, is from God. And so they don't check it, so they run with it. Okay? They take off and run with it. Hallelujah. And so here, Paul said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Then he referred to it as the messenger of Satan. The messenger of Satan. Amen. And see, what are you saying? Was God permitted this, you know, to keep me humble? Hallelujah. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 7. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 12, 7 verse. And look what the word of God said. It said, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and what? And his angels. And we know in Revelation 20, Satan is known as the dragon. So notice it said the dragon fought and his angels. So Satan has angels. He has messengers. He has angels. You get that? And so for some of us who do not study the scriptures, when we hear the word angel, we automatically think, oh, God. That's the Lord. No, not necessarily so all the time. He said in 1 John 4, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit. In other words, don't be naive, okay? And some of us operate in a naive spirit. We just believe anything. When Satan sees that, he said, oh, they want an angel, huh? They say all they had to do is see an angel. So Satan will say, okay, all right, boys, let me see one of y'all. For the Bible said, no marvel for his, you know, Satan transformed to an angel of light. It's a deceiving light, but he transformed into an angel of light. So he have angels, okay? So when you think back at Malachi 3 and 1, when the Lord said, behold, I send my messenger, see, he letting you know that this angelic being come from me. He's mine. This is one of my men, okay? It's not the devil's, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, God is letting you also, you know, the Lord, Jesus, he's also letting us know in this, that by him letting us know that it's his messenger, that it is his angel that belongs to him, okay? That his messenger, his angel, is going to prepare the way before Christ. The angels or messengers of Satan is not going to do that. People, they ain't going to do that. No angels or messengers of Satan going to be preparing the way for Christ. Do you understand this? You know, if those demons raised their voice and said, Jesus, Lord, do you know what Satan would do to them? Man, Satan would, I mean, he would unleash, oh my goodness, he just, you know, no way. Hey, you are not going to find any demons encouraging you to obey Jesus. You're not going to find that. Just like you see these cartoons and commercials through years showing like the devil had to have a good side and that he elicited for real. You're not getting this. How is that? No. Hallelujah. So the Lord said that his messenger, his forerunner, is to prepare the way. That's what his man does. That's what his angel going to do. When it comes to the things of God, his angels is in agreement with it. They work in it, all of that. Satan and his angels is no way. You're not going to find Satan encouraging you to love people. He ain't going to find that. Forget it. That ain't happening, okay? You're not going to find Satan to move you to worship the Lord. Not happening, people. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we notice that in Malachi 3 and 1, the Lord said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Okay? So let's talk about preparing the way. Now, we talked about it in Witness 2 somewhat, when Mark gave us in chapter 1 that the Lord said, behold, I will send my messenger. And then, you know, when he said that, at first he said, well, which was said by the prophets, which means he would point us back to one of the people, which here is Malachi. And remember, we talked about that he said, okay, this is John. He is to prepare the way. And so I gave you a definition of the word prepare. Amen. But here's the thing about words from the Old Testament, word from the New Testament. When it's the same word, look it up in both of them. Look it under the Hebrew and the Greek so you can get a full understanding of the word, of what it means. Okay, so we want to look at now, what does it mean that he said he is to prepare the way? Okay. Now, like I said, I gave you the meaning before. I'm going to give it to you again. Now, when I gave you the meaning, I gave you what it means from the dictionary. I gave you what it meant from the Greek, okay? Now, first of all, the word prepare, and we look at it from the dictionary standpoint, and I'm going to turn to this in the dictionary right quick so I can give you the meaning of the word prepare. Glory to God. From the dictionary. And the first definition I gave you was to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. Now remember when I gave you what that word prepare and the Greek meant, it means to make ready. So it went in line with number one. So we know that since he is to prepare the way, he is to make ready this way beforehand. Or before what? Before Christ's return. Okay. Hallelujah. He had to make ready of it beforehand. And also so that it may be used this way that will lead you to Christ. Because you remember in part two, I gave you scriptures about this way, the way that leads to eternal life. And since John also have a ministry of restoring, he has to bring that way back. Because what? Remember, I told you this stuff that causes John to restore things happened because of the falling away, the first falling away of the early church, okay? And the early church got out of the way. She ain't completely walking. She not altogether walking the right road. And so John has to bring back the way. So he is to prepare the way, okay? That's what it means from the dictionary and from the Greek. Now, what I want to do also, since we are in the Old Testament, look up the word prepare and give you what it means from that. Because remember, I tell you, when you're studying, and let's say you have a concordance, and you're looking up the word, look up what it means, you know, unless you're just dealing directly with that scripture out of the New Testament, look it up in the New Testament. But if that word you got and you're dealing with scriptures with that same word from the new and the old, look up both of them so you can get a full scope of what it means. Now, the word prepare, the original Hebrew word is paunal. Pawnaw means to turn by, implying or implicating, to turn by the face, that is, appear, look, etc. It also means to prepare, to return, aside, away, or back. Now, that's interesting of those other definitions in that word right there from what prepare means in the Hebrew. Okay? And so the Lord dealt with me about the part of that definition that means to return. Remember I read it said to return aside, away, or back. So the part where it said to return back, this is the same as what? Restoring. And remember, he has a ministry of restoration. Okay? We saw that in the other series about the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah, and his work. We saw he has a ministry of restoring. So he comes to prepare the way. That means he got to bring it back again. He got to return the way. Why? Because, amen, the church got out of the way, and he has to return it. Now, remember, I talked to you in part, was it one or two, or part two, about how is he to do it? He has to proclaim it. He has to preach it. He has to deliver the message, okay? He has to, just like he preached baptism and repentance and he brought that message from God, he has to bring this message again to prepare it. He has to bring it again. He has to return it again. The what? The way. Because the way came lost to the people. Like I told you, this stuff, people listen. One of the things that hurts us is the lack of knowing history. History is important. I don't even care if it's secular history. Even your secular history is important. Why? Because history shows you why we at the present right now. That's what history does. Okay? Just like if you got two men, you see punching each other lights out to death in the middle of the road. You're going to want to say, what brought them to this point? So what are you asking for? You ask for history. And if you found out down the line these guys always had bad blood between one another, then you, that will bring you to the now. Then you see why they're punching each other lights out. Well, see, we have to understand that the work that the resurrected John the Baptist is assigned to do, especially in restoring, is because of the falling away of the early church. Things got messed up, people. And so now he has to prepare the way, okay? He got to return it back. Hallelujah. Bring it back. He got to bring it back into use. Hallelujah. The church quit walking that way. The way that leads to eternal life. The new and living way. They quit walking that way. You know, you look at today, you talk to some people about holiness, they frown. I'm talking about these are people that are supposed to be, quote, for the Lord. They start frowning. You talk about holiness, first thing they do, well, ain't nobody perfect. Well, we didn't say that. We ain't talking about seeing anybody talking perfect. We talking about walking in holiness. It's like the word holiness is a bad word. When you start talking about walking in holiness, You can look at people, how they start looking all over the room, like, I can be somewhere else beside here. That's kind of attitude people take on. And once again, these are people in the church. I'm not talking about these outside church say, hey, I don't deal with the church. I'm talking about people who saying that for the Lord. I'm for the Lord. These same folks, when you talk about holiness, they either going to tell you, well, ain't nobody perfect. We didn't say that. Or they're going to have some kind of attitude to let you know, I really don't want to hear this now. Amen? So this means here that the angel of the Lord, the resurrected John the Baptist, he must get this, return the way that was once delivered, but has become lost to the people. And the people got out of the way of it. He got to return the way. The new and living way. He got to return the way. The way that leads to eternal life. Because what? The church, the body from the first falling away of the early church got off the road. You know,
you look at today, sinners is feeling at home in among many believers. Why? Because they like, well, I ain't got to start living the way I'm living. And you find some so-called believers defending them. When you find another believer tells them, hey, we need to repent and need to walk in holiness. And then that sinner man rises up and says, you can't judge me. Then you got some of the so-called supposed to be Christians standing with the sinner man. That's right, you can't judge. You cussing folks out. You doing them dirty. You sleeping around with somebody's wife or somebody's husband. And you doing all that. And then you come into church services. And like you shedding a tear, as if you ain't had a little bottle of water, throw it on your eye. And then all of a sudden you, oh, Lord Jesus, like that. And like you really for the Lord. And as soon as you get out of service, you're doing the same stuff again. And you talking about nobody can't judge you. And here the so-called supposed to be Christian defending you. We done made the way of God like a laughing stock. You know, a lot of them sinners got to be thinking to themselves, man, what I need to get saved for? You know, church taking me in and I can do whatever I want to in there. And now many of the churches got so many, quote, sinners as members that they have put their influence in the church, and you can see it. You can see nothing but worldly stuff influenced in the church. You can look at it now, the church services. Oh, they doing whatever. Amen. And don't let that sinner man be a known celebrity. Oh, good gracious. You talking about going to have pool in the church service. Oh, man, you let a celebrity come up in there? They make their suggestion the church be listening. What you suggest? Oh, yeah, we can do that. I know a lot of y'all think I'm getting far-fetched, but I'm not. You know it. You know I'm not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, the first time when John was sent, he delivered the way by pointing them, first of all, to the way, which is Christ, and delivering the message of the Lord, which he what? He preached repentance, the baptism of repentance, and what? Believe on Jesus. Hallelujah. And even gave them further information in Luke 3, because remember what he told the soldiers and the tax collectors and all that? Okay? That's what he was doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, you can say amen to old me. He was delivering a message to the Lord. And guess what? He wasn't scared, people. See, we've become scared. Many of us have become scared. We want to deliver the message because we're afraid of what men may do to us. And that's the honest truth. We won't speak up, we won't say nothing. You know, it's been said of this word before that those people worship John. But no, we don't worship John. We worship Jesus Christ. But Jesus told us to let you know that he's the one that sent the resurrected John the Baptist. We have to tell you that. And we have to tell you why, okay? What is the purpose? But see, we have, through the years, gotten more and more afraid. Now, do delivering this message, do that mean I'm going to lose some people? Yeah, that means that. Because I told you, and those you've been listening, I told you on one of the broadcasts, this way of the Lord Jesus, and I stress it again, the way of the Lord Jesus, not the way of John, not the way of Elijah, but the way of the Lord Jesus. It is a very humble way. It is not a flashy way, okay? It's not a glamorous way. See, so many people in the churches, they look for glamour. You come dressed in a three-piece suit worth $3,000 or something, they think you something. If you come with a what they call an entourage now, you come with an entourage or you come and they know you get on four or five brand new cars, stuff like that. That's something. That, you know, people be quick to hear that. You tell them something, thus says the Lord, they all attend them. But the one that's ordinary, plain, that come and say, well, you know, the Lord said, Oh, you get nose turns up at them, ears turn away. They looking all over in the inside of the building like, I really wish you'd go on and talk some, go somewhere and sit down. Okay? That's the kind of attitude they have. Amen. That's the kind of attitude they have. Glory to God. No bones about it. And see, this message of the Lord is extremely important. Greatest in trust given to man, okay, to deliver this message. And I share with you all on other broadcasts that, hey, one of the purposes is what? To call Christianity to flow together. We ain't flowing together, people. Let's wake up. Do we need a slap on our head to awaken? Let's wake up. We're not flowing together. Okay, yeah, I know we all claiming we serving the same God. And so we run with that and make it everything comfortable. So I ain't got to get together with you. I can just say we serve the same God. That's all I got to say. And we think that covers it. Like God just a dummy sitting up in heaven going, okay, they say they saw serve me. And no. Okay? It's more than that. He is getting together a people who will be together in truth, who are going to be one in truth. Because why? The devil can't do nothing, folks, with people who are in true unity. It's all that faking that he can do something with. But that true unity, he can't. That's why he try to keep people from coming together in unity in the Lord. Why? Because if they came in true unity, he in trouble. He in trouble. And you're going to see in these last days, and the Bible informs us of this, you're going to see the makings at the end where it's going to be two churches, Church of Christ, Church of the Devil. Ain't going to be that in between. We got too much in between now. It ain't going to be the in between because all that love truth is going to flow together in the way of the Lord Jesus. Everybody that love truth. Everybody else that don't love truth, they going to flow together and be with the evil church. Plain and simple. No bones about it. No sugarcoating. No shortcuts. I'm just letting you know. Just like Revelation 12 tell you about the Church of Christ, Revelation 17 tell you about the Church of the Devil. Plain and simple. Okay? Plain and simple. And so therefore, this is what this thing is shaping up to. You got people out there saying, well, I don't get involved in no church. I'll be... When the smoke clears, they're going to belong to one or the other. There ain't going to be no in-between. Don't let nobody convince you that there's going to be an in-between. There's not going to be an in-between. You're either going to belong to the Church of Christ or the Church of the Devil. Either one. Okay? When it's said and done, smoke clears. Okay? And what Jesus is doing through the sending of his angel messenger, those that really love truth, he's causing them to flow together that hear this word. Amen. And it's truly indeed a blessing that the Lord is doing. And see, this message is also being delivered for those of you, you know, see, some of God's people are really looking for the standard of Lord Jesus Christ. And their hearts are heavy because they see how Christianity, they see our condition. We separated. We fighting each other. We not truly come together, and it's grieving people. It's grieving their hearts. Okay? Now, this ain't everybody that's supposed to be in the church or in Christ. Everybody in grief. Some people are satisfied the way we are. Okay? Amen. Some people, they can care less. But there are some true believers out there who say, Lord, this ain't your way. This not your way. This is not how you set. Lord, this couldn't be the way you set things up. Ain't no way in the world this could be. And see, they write about it. That is not something that the Lord set up. Okay? And so we, for some reason, some of us in Christianity think that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to come back to something he just set up. That's not happening. He hadn't set Christianity up the way you see it now. No. And he ain't coming back for this. Like he just gonna set on anything. He's set up a certain way, but he got to come back and settle anything. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to stop it there today. I'm going to do part three on Tuesday. Come back Tuesday with part three. Thank the Lord for what he's doing. Amen. And you know, what he's going to do. Thank God for the chance to proclaim this message. You know, and, you know, like I said, the Lord has told me to speak on this. And that's what I'm doing. Okay, so I'm following what he has commissioned me to speak on. And that is this message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, that should, any of us as believers, happy to know that the way we see Christianity now is not going to last like this. And that the Lord, he sees it. Amen. And he's going to do something about it. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we are grateful for the word that you've given us and opportunity you have blessed us with, Lord God, to go into your word. And Father, I pray that you would water the seed I've sown and bring forth the increase. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And may you bless your people, strengthen your people for your glory. We magnify you and lift up your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, I'm grateful to the Lord for such opportunity as this. Don't forget, Tuesday, going to be part two to this third witness. Messenger to prepare the way. Look for the advertisement for Tuesday. Glory be to God. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.